Sometime back, Reader's Digest published an article about rain. The title of this article was Five Weird Facts About Rain. Today, as we continue to investigate some information about weather in the Bible, I want to share with you four facts from this article about rain. Fact number one. If you've never heard of phantom rain, it is a real phenomenon. Phantom rain occurs when rain is coming down, but if you were to stand out where it's raining, you wouldn't get wet. The ground wouldn't get wet. Phantom rain means that, especially in areas that are hot and dry, the rain literally evaporates before it gets down to the ground. If you were to look at that article, you'd find that as far as the second fact, they've said that on some planets and some moons, rain is composed of sulfuric acid. A third fact was there is a planet about 5,000 miles from here, and the rain that comes down on this planet is iron instead of water. Fact number four was, if you are pretty good with the weather, you can sometimes look at clouds. And based on the appearance of clouds, you can predict rain. We may not think about rain too often until we need it. Or we may not think about rain until we're getting it and we don't want it anymore. Or we may not think about rain too often until we have an activity planned, it's time for that day, and the rain spoils the plans. But rain, when we think about that, and we are getting some certainly this time of year, it is a significant part of our lives. In fact, if you've never thought about it, rain is so significant, it's even made its way into a lot of music. Can you almost instantly call to mind a song which has in its title, Rain? If you can call to mind a song title, what about the lyrics in a song? Just like that. Can you put in your mind some lyrics about rain? Well, biblically, we probably all sung the song at one time. The rains came down, the floods came up. Remember that one? Or depending on your age, you may remember raindrops keep falling on my head. There was that one and many, many more. The songs about rain, both in the titles and in the lyrics, reflect the importance of rain. When we start looking at the Bible, Old Testament and New, we also begin to see the importance of rain. In this lesson, I have 3 points. Number one, the importance of rain. Number two, rain from a positive perspective. And then finally, number three, rain from a negative perspective. We start with the importance of rain. If you followed along or if you heard Michael in that scripture reading, Deuteronomy chapter 11, God told his people, you are headed towards the promised land. And God said to his people, when you get to the promised land, some things are going to be different. Back there in Deuteronomy chapter 11 and verse 10, if you listened or if you looked at that verse as it was read, God said, think back to the time when you were in Egypt. God said, when you were in Egypt, you watered with your feet. Now, that is a very strange expression. How would somebody water their crops with their feet? Well, that wasn't something that was literally done. I mean, you don't get water out of the toes, for example. But what God was saying there was, you had to engage in irrigation. The people may not have had the digging implements, the hose, the shovels, the trowels like we have today. So they would go out there and with their feet, they would dig a trench. And they would allow that trench to irrigate the crops, the seeds that they planted, what had been sown in the ground. But God said, look, when you get into the promised land, you've left behind Egypt. And when you come to the land of Canaan, when you get into this good land, things are going to be different. And one of the different things is you're not going to have to go out there and trench anymore. You're not going to have to use your feet to dig out a trench for your crops. God said the land that you're coming to is going to be a land of rain. He said, if you obey me, if you're willing to heed my word, God said, I'll send the rain. And not only will I send the rain, I'll send the right rain at the right time in the right amounts, and you're going to be blessed. You're not going to have to engage in that kind of physical labor that was required before. I've read that in the area of Cairo, Egypt, there's only 2 to 4 inches of rain per year. Now, if that's true for Egypt in general, that's not very much rain. And as several from here will recall, when it came to the fertile area of Egypt, and it was a fertile area, that was fertile because the Nile flooded. That's where they were getting their water from. Deuteronomy 11 verse 14 says the rains, the needed rains, they were going to come at the proper times. Now that rain promise is found elsewhere in the Old Testament. A little later in the same book, Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 12, you have a similar promise. Other passages such as Leviticus 26 and verse 4. And then over in the book of 1 Kings chapter 8, where you have Solomon's prayer, you have, once again, the idea that God's going to provide the rain. He's going to provide the rain at the proper time that the people were obedient. Rain was so important that as Israel's prophets began to speak to God's people, sometimes the prophets talked about rain. One of the prophets who spoke about rain was Zechariah. In Zechariah chapter 10 and verse 1, the prophet said, "Ask ye of Jehovah rain in the time of the latter rains." It's okay to pray to God for rain. He said, "Even of Jehovah that maketh lightnings, and he will give them showers of rain to everyone, grass in the field." If you start looking at Palestine, and maybe this is more important to a study of the Old Testament than New, but if you start looking at Palestine, you find that there are two basic time periods that stand out. There was a time of harvest, and in the area of Palestine, there was also a time of dormancy. Half the year. And that half the year, the half of the year that I'm talking about now was summertime and it was dry. And then you have half the year, which was winter. And in that second half of the year, the winter time, it began in about October. That's one of the things that helps us understand when Jesus was born. Not a quote-unquote Christmas time. It was wet and it was rainy. The Hebrews understood how they needed the right rain cycle for the crops to go. If they were going to eat, if food was going to be on the table from the ground, they needed that right rain cycle. That's why as you start looking through the Bible, it talks about sometimes the early rains and the later, or the latter rains. You may have heard that read from Michael from Deuteronomy chapter 28, or Deuteronomy 11 verse 14. But other passages also talk about these periods of rain. In fact, this is so important you find it in the book of Psalms. In Psalm 84 verse 6, the writer recognizes these rain periods. And then too, even in the book of Job, Job 29 verse 23, that book which seems to be so early compared to other books. Back there in the time of Job, it's also referenced. And if you look at the New Testament, you find that the two periods of rain are also mentioned. James was the one who did this. In James chapter 5 verse 7, he said, "Be patient therefore, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient over it, until he receive the early and the later rains." So this is a big deal when it comes to the people living in the lands of the Bible. Then you have some additional references. In the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 28, verse 12, it talks about rain in its season. And Jeremiah, chapter 5, verse 24, also referenced this. There was a man by the name of Eliphaz. We read about him in the book of Job. Eliphaz got a lot of things wrong. He messed a lot of things up, said several things that were incorrect. But one thing that this guy got right, and there were a few others, but one thing that he understood was God is over the rain, Job 5, verse 10. And many years later, there is this man by the Apostle Paul. He goes out and he begins to preach and teach. And would you believe that the Apostle Paul talked about rain? He did. In the book of Acts, Acts chapter 14, verse 17, here's part of Paul's sermon. "And yet, talking about God, he left not himself without witness, in that he did good and gave you from heaven rains and fruitful seasons, filling your hearts with food and gladness." So Paul talks about rain. Multiple Bible characters, including some of the prophets, talked about rain. And then, even Jesus Christ is someone who talked about rain. You may remember the Lord's rain reference from the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, verse 45. Jesus said that ye may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. And he said, for he, that's God the Father, he makes his rain, or he makes his sun rather, to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. Rain is very important, and the Bible says that that rain comes from God. God is the giver of the rain, and he allows that blessing to fall on those who are righteous and those who are not. Well, that's some introductory information on rain. So let's now turn to that second point and look at rain from a positive perspective. We know, and if you want to follow along here, if you have a copy of the outline, we're once again going back to the book of Deuteronomy. In just a moment, I'm going to be reading from Deuteronomy chapter 32. In this 32nd chapter, we have some information about Moses, and most know that Moses was a great servant of God. And as you look at the 32nd chapter of Deuteronomy, you find that Moses is involved with a song. The first part of this song has Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 1. You have Moses calling on heaven to witness his words, heaven and earth. Moses wanted the heavens to hear what he was about to speak. And then he says, also in that opening verse, he wanted the earth to hear the words of his mouth. So this was something that was very, very important. The rain reference that we want to look at is Deuteronomy 32, verse 2. "My doctrine, my teaching, my instruction," Moses said, "shall drop as the rain. My speech shall distill as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender grass." Moses, as he talks to the people, he says, "I want my teaching to be like rain." That's not a torrent. That's not a flood of rain. But Moses, as he thinks about the instruction that needed to be given to God's people, he compared that to pleasant rain. Now, I suppose that anybody who does some teaching could have their teaching compared to rain, but let's look at that from the perspective of a sermon this morning. Let's look at a man who delivers sermons from the perspective of weather. I suspect that it is possible for a person to be as dry as dust when it comes to delivering a sermon. Wow, that was really dry. I couldn't wait for that to end. But as you think about sermons in conjunction with weather, can't you imagine another preacher who is like fire, thunder, lightning, and hail? And every time it just feels like there is a pounding, you're being beaten. There's some guys who preach like that. But then as you look at Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 2, you find that teaching is also compared to a gentle, healthy, good, refreshing rain. What a thrill to be able to teach like that. What a blessing to be taught by someone who teaches in that way. And that's what Moses said he wanted to teach like. Now, if a communicator can be compared to rain, in this case, a gentle, a pleasant rain, my mind might wonder about some other people. What about a secular leader? What about a ruler? What about someone who is leading a nation of people? Might it not also be possible to compare a ruler to rain? Well, the answer to this question is yes. And if you are following along, you may want to find another Old Testament book. This is going to be the book of 2 Samuel. In just a minute, we're going to be reading from 2 Samuel chapter 23. Now, in 2 Samuel chapter 23, we have what has sometimes been referred to as David's last words. As you look at 2 Samuel chapter 23 and verse 1, David said that he'd been raised on high by God, and that was exactly right. In 2 Samuel chapter 23 and verse 2, David made it clear that he had spoken by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. That's also exactly right. And then in 2 Samuel 23 and verse 3, David said, through this divinely inspired speech, that he'd been allowed to rule over a nation of people. And then as you look at that fourth verse, Deuteronomy 23, you have a ruler compared to rain. He shall be as the light of the morning when the sun riseth, a morning without clouds when the tender grass springeth out of the earth. New grass. Maybe you've cut it. Maybe you drive by and you see that rain has fallen and that grass is glistening. The grass is shining. If grass had emotions, you might say, wow, it's happy today. And that's the image that David described or associated with a good ruler. There's some political leaders which may be dry as dust. There may be some political leaders that as we look at them, every time you hear the man or every time the woman comes on TV, it sounds like there's bluster, there's thunder, there's hail, there's torrents of rain, it's high wind. And you get a lot of emotion from that kind of person. But how good, how wonderful it would be to have leaders like David, men, sometimes women, who are like that good, gentle rain. So as we look at the scripture, it is important when we think about rain. We do have rain being used to communicate some positive truths. But also as we look at the Bible, we have rain sometimes being used to portray some negative information. Another reference here, if you want to turn to it, fairly easy to find, Job, Psalms, Proverbs, and then you have the book of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 is where we want to go. This is, of course, the last chapter in this book. Many will remember Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 1. This is where Solomon encouraged people to remember the Creator in the days of your youth. Did you know, though? Do you remember from reading this chapter that the wise man talks about rain right after he talks about remembering the Creator? He does. And let's see how those ideas are connected together. Ecclesiastes 12, starting with verse 1. Remember also thy Creator in the days of thy youth, before, he says, the evil days come, and the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them, before the sun and the light, and the moon and the stars and the darkness, and the clouds return after the rain. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 2 is a description of old age. Now, people have differing ideas as far as what old is. Some would look at the age of 30 and say you're old. Some might say a person is old when he or she hits 40, or maybe it's the 50s or 60s, or some people are 90 and they still don't feel old. So there is some subjectivity when it comes to the word old. There may not be universal agreement as far as when old age comes, but here is what God says about it. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 2. Old age is compared to a gathering storm. Now, we know how storms work. You look outside, or maybe you hear it, and you go over and you decide to check things out, but the clouds begin to gather. And then the rain begins to come. Maybe there's some lightning. And after that storm goes through all of its fury, then finally, especially if it's during daytime, everything passes away. If it's during the daytime hours, the sun comes out and we're back to nice times. That's how it works. And that's what Solomon says the younger years are like. It's like you get another sunny day. It's like the storm comes, and yes, it's bad for a little while, but it dissipates, and then you're on, and life continues. But Solomon said things change. When you reach that point in life, when you are old, he said it is possible, and we might say in many cases probable, that the storm never goes away. Oh, it rolls in, and there's the fury, and it's bad. And you're looking for that storm to pass. You're looking for the sun to come out. And Solomon said in the old days, the sun just never seems to shine. That storm finishes up, and right behind it there is another one, and behind that there is another one, and there is another one, and there is another one, and that for many is what like the later years are like. That's why he says, get right with God early in life. Don't wait. Remember the Creator in the days of thy youth. You'll still have some good days as a young person, hopefully many days. But he says the time is going to come where life is going to be difficult. You're going to need God. And yet, as you look at that, oftentimes people say, well, maybe tomorrow, maybe in a week, maybe in a year, maybe when I get old. Untold people have told me, I wish I would have become a Christian so much sooner in life. Out of 30 years of preaching, I cannot ever remember a single time where anyone said directly or indirectly, I'm so glad I waited to become a Christian. I can't think of any preacher I've ever talked to that has told me, someone conveyed to them that very message, I'm so glad I waited until this time to become a Christian. Again and again, I wish I would have become a Christian so much earlier in life. Talking about rain, the Bible has much to say about it. Back in the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 4, verse 6, early in that book, he talked about the need for a refuge. He talked about the need for a hiding place from the storms and the rain. When you look at Ecclesiastes 12, 2, and Isaiah chapter 4, verse 6, you have a reminder, a good reminder, of how we need refuge. Even Jesus affirmed in a very powerful way the need for refuge. Do you recall how at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 7, Jesus gave that little teaching, that little story about two men. They each built a house. There was one fellow who decided to build his house on the rock. And there was this other fellow, he decided to build his house in the sand. Jesus said the rain descended, Matthew 7, verse 27. As you look at that teaching, it's not indicated that that was a gentle rain. The floods came. There was a lot of rain. And that rain was coupled with wind, blowing wind. One house, Jesus said, was struck by the rain. It was hit by the bad storm, and yet it stood. Then the Lord said there was a second fellow, the guy who had built his house on the sand. Jesus said that guy's house not only fell, but the Lord said great was the fall thereof. In the Bible, rain is sometimes described in some very harsh ways. We read about Job 38, verse 25, torrents of rain. And we've probably seen rain like that. There is the sweeping, there is the pounding, there is the beating rain. Proverbs 28, verse 3. Ezekiel chapter 13 verse 11 talked about an overflowing shower, a deluge of rain. Rain is extremely important in our world, and it can also be very powerful. It is a phenomena of weather, which also has some important spiritual reminders or lessons attached to it. And one reminder is that one day we're going to be examined individually by God. And how we lived our life on this earth will determine whether we spend eternity with the saved or with the lost. Our spiritual house at some point in the future is going to be tested. And that testing is going to be by God. And it's either going to stand firm or it's going to collapse. We have songs about sinking sand. We sing about the rains coming down and the floods coming up. We have words in our hymns which talk about our hope being built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. And that's the way it needs to be. Otherwise, our life will be built on sinking sand. God warns us that a storm, a big storm, is coming. A storm unlike anything that we've ever faced. And just like Isaiah said in Isaiah chapter 4, verse 6, there will be people looking for shelter, looking for safety, and there is none. The only place is in Christ. And to be in Christ, we've got to be part of His church. We know, surely, how that process works. Faith, repentance, confession, baptism, and then faithful Christian living. There's a storm raging now, but the one that's coming is far, far worse. And are we on sinking sound? Are we in on sinking ground? Or are we on solid ground? That's what we want to consider. We want to make sure that we're on the solid ground and not part of the sinking sand. When we sing the next song in just a moment, think about your life. Are you in Christ? Are you in that place of spiritual shelter so that when the rain does come, you'll withstand the storm? If not, you're going to perish. And God doesn't want that. The Bible says that's why He sent a Son. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. He wants to save you from the storm. Will you say no? We pray and hope not. If you need to respond to God as a Christian, or you've not yet taken those steps, you think, boy, someday I will. Make that someday today. Make that someday right now as we stand and sing the selected song.